Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson. Here's what's on deck for this episode. Our Tigers played like they may have been playing the worst team in baseball.
I'm 100% with you. We don't have enough pitching. The chaos theory is running very thin.
You know which
right
Cub
now.
Lost him the game today? Was Suzuki.
I think Scott Harris's trade deadline, this needs to be his opus. He needs to figure this out. Hello, Litterbox listeners. It's been a couple days since Bill and I have chimed in on our thoughts here with our Tigers. I appreciate you kind of hanging on, but yeah, we're back. We got to see a lot of baseball over the last couple days. We were in Chicago for a 4-game series, and then we came home and played the other Chicago team for a 3-game set. A tale of two cities there, if you will. We've got the White Sox, who are in dead last place, one of the worst teams in baseball. Our Tigers played like they may have been playing the worst team in baseball, maybe played down to them a little bit at times. And then we had the Cubs in town for a home set, and the story was somewhat different. There were times when you saw some things you'd rather not see pop up, but in the end, we got 2 out of 3 there. And I think Tigers fans should be happy with that, as they are one of the best teams in the league. What I'd want to do here real quick, Bill, is I don't know if you guys have picked this up yet, but Bill loves a good away game. He loves going to other stadiums. He loves taking in the baseball vibe that he gets from these other stadiums and giving kind of a vibe check on what he's feeling. We got a couple recordings. I'm going to play one for you. I'm going to play one for you right now. And this will give you an idea of what we got to kind of drum up for the rest of the episode here. Here's a recording of Bill at Guaranteed Rate Field, Sox, Tigers. And he's going to give you a little look into some food.
Listeners, it's Billy T. I am at U.S. Cellular /Guaranteed/Rate Park right now. You can hear all sorts of awesome background noise. And I'm going to give you a couple quick food reviews really quick. Just met quite a few people coming in from the D. And I just sampled a steak taco from 35th Street Tacos. Imeldo's Ricos is the name. Tacos and More, or Tacos y Mas. Quite delicious. Topped with cilantro and a cebolla mix. You can add on crema, queso, obviously lime is part of it. And then mine had the salsa verde. Just undid all the good I did, having that delicious carne asada taco with all the fixings and salsa verde. They sell these pierogies at this park. As best I can tell, they were deep fried sometime this morning and fit in a steamer box, losing all texture and ability to be decent in any way, shape, or form. And I was proud to announce that my first mustard stain on one of my litter box t-shirts happened as I was devouring a Polish covered in onions, smothered, I should say, in onions and mustard. And it hit some quick thoughts, Tiger fans. A really weird thing about Rate Field is when you're trying to find the pitch count or any real pertinent information, the easiest place to look is above home plate, which I think is completely and totally counterintuitive to where your eyes would naturally gravitate.
That's just a little taste of what you were doing. You kind of were shooting these to me throughout the week with your thoughts. Give me a vibe check on guaranteed rate. Like, what did it feel like watching games there? You did a couple.
It felt like they weren't even trying.
The team or the staff?
More the stadium. I mean, the team gave us everything we could handle. We've talked about that, you know.
Yeah.
The quick recap, Tigers win game one, 13-1. Seemed like it was going to be Tigers going away. Opposite effect next game, 8-1 loss to the Sox. Eked out a 5-4 win and then lost in 10 innings, 3-2. No, I think the Sox have good young talent. We said that in our preview. It's not going to be this year. It probably won't be next year, but the season after that, I think they could be good, depending. No, what I mean is the upper concourse is 100% closed down, and I think has been most of the, outside of opening day and maybe the Cubs home series, has been shut down. And then even on the lower concourse, I would say, let's call it inner and outer. So inner okay. would be towards the field.
Yeah.
Outer would be towards the outer concourse.
Oh, wow.
Everything on the outer concourse, the bigger concessions, those were all open. Half of everything on the inner going towards the field were closed, the smaller, more temporary ones. So it just gave the feel like the White Sox just don't really
just care. Kind of
the season doesn't matter.
Have had a season and a half of bad baseball.
Yeah, and it just kind of shows. Like, the ushers just don't really seem to care.
Jeez.
The people that shoot out the t-shirts from the cannons. Like, it just, there's a general malaise around the whole stadium.
Sounds like a general malaise is what I would use to describe that.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's so bad that they even put up signs like, you know, wasn't really in the market or wanted a churro, but if you did, you go to the nearest churro stand and it's like, hey, you can't get churros here, but you can get churros at section 158, you know. The bullpen bar was absolutely dead. I think there were 16 people working there and 3 people actually drinking.
And I'm assuming you probably saw a bigger crowd because it was the Tigers and there's so many Detroiters in Chicago.
I did a deep dive on this. This is an odd one, and this is no disrespect to Major League Soccer, but the Chicago Fire, who are not they're one of the original MLS teams, but they are not a world beater by any way, shape, or form. Matter of fact, they've been one of the bottom teams basically since the MLS's inception. They've been basically uncompetitive since maybe the first 3 or 4 seasons. That being said, in other news, the Fire are privately funding a stadium in a very coveted area called the 78 in downtown Chicago along the Chicago River. And the White Sox and Bears have been quabbling over who would get this and how much public money would go to it.
And the Fire sweep in and grab it.
Well, because it's private money. I mean, the taxpayers of Illinois right now and in Chicago,
they're not still up for it.
We're still paying for Soldier Field's renovations that are adequate for the Bears, but the Bears just are greedy. And then the same thing with the White Sox and their almost moved to St. Pete, Tampa in 1990 and then ended up staying. So where I'm going back to attendance is the only time the Sox have drawn 3 million plus was 1991, the opening year of the new Comiskey at the time. They're currently averaging just under 16,000 fans per game, which is about, I'm thinking 6,000 by these numbers, less than the Fire are averaging.
That's not counting when
Messi comes
with
Miami FC, which will sell out Soldier Field. So what I guess I'm saying is there's malaise throughout it. In other news and notes, Jerry Reinsdorf agreed to sell a portion of the team where nobody's sure how much. And part of this could go through as early as 2029. The other part could be 2034 to Justin Ishbia. I think at this point, Jerry Reinsdorf has, you know, he's definitely getting up there in years. So I'm not going to say anything there. But I think the next collective bargaining agreement, he's going to make it his life's mission to try to break the baseball union. Outside of that, it doesn't seem like he cares anything about the White Sox anymore.
Well, then they've been sort of struggling for a while now. So none of this shocks me. That's too bad. It's a big city. They definitely have enough of a fan base for two teams. And I know plenty of White Sox fans who are wonderful people. We diss the White Sox on this podcast all the time because they're actually an interdivision rival. You and I both live in Chicago. We know plenty of people who are Sox fans. They deserve better of a product than what they've gotten. And I like some of their young guys. Some of their guys showed a lot of fight. That Chase Meadroth kid is a fighter. He's going to be a good one.
I would trade Gleyber Torres and everything he's done.
There's a couple guys on that team. There's a couple guys on that, young guys on that team that are good and are trying to show their value. I just don't know. You know, it's such a young team. So we'll see how that goes. Interestingly enough, they did come out and take two from the Royals right off the bat, right after they beat us in game four. So they strung together a 3-game win streak, helped the Tigers a lot. Funny enough, while the Tigers were struggling, so was the rest of the division. I got out of that 4-game set and I felt like we saw our floor. Game one was obviously wonderful. I would never scoff at a 13-1 game, whatever that absurd final score ended up being. And I thought we were going to roll 4 straight games. Then on game two, we came out and played one of the worst baseball games I think I've seen that team play. And it really got me thinking, and you know this because I texted and I sent you messages about this past week, really got me thinking about this bullpen game concept. I don't like it. I don't think a World Series contender can live like that. I don't think we can survive doing bullpen games, especially one per series or one every, you know, it seems like we have one almost every other day these days. And maybe that's extreme, but I know we got injuries. I know we got people hurt, but we got to have people that can give us a start when we need it, when we have an injury. And I just don't understand it. And I started looking over some of our pitching stats. I'll get into it later in the pod. And our strength is our pitching. But we aren't terribly deep there in an odd way. And our hitting, we're not going to win with our hitting. We just aren't. We're going to win some games with our hitting. Our hitting will kick in, but it's not our real strength right now. It's a nice piece, but it's not a strength. Our pitching is our strength. So I'll be curious to hear what you have to say on all that. I got out of that 4-game series and I was like, yuck, we did a 2-2 split with a bad, extremely young team. And some of our guys looked like they were young. I mean, game two, we had pitchers throwing the ball all over the place, pitchers' errors. We had bad fielding, bad base running. All of a sudden, we're running into, you know, you live the game on the edges and you do these taking extra bases. And then you got Andy Ibanez getting tossed out 5 feet away from the base. I mean, just bad decision making, which may have bit us a little bit there in that series. And you come out of it with a bad taste in your mouth. And I honestly was kind of full of dread going into the Cubs series.
I thought that the Cubs would succumb to Tarek Skubal in Friday's game. And then I thought if the Tigers could get a split from there and take 2 out of 3, that would be the best case scenario. And that's exactly what happened. So talking about that a little bit more, a couple interesting things. Bruce Levine is a beat writer for both baseball teams here in Chicago, and I heard him Saturday morning on the radio talking about how the Tigers were deplorable and how dare Bruce. They be so conceited, cocky, arrogant by delaying Tarek Skubal's start one day, and how vindicated it was that the White Sox beat the Tigers 3-2 on Thursday the 5th in 10 innings. And it was interesting because he was with David Haw, David Haw was hosting. David Haw didn't agree with him in any way, shape, or form.
No, it's a strategy. You play that. Why would, Levine, he's been around a while, okay?
Yeah.
Bruce has been around a while. I get it. And he wants to espouse his views and whatever. He's not one of my favorite.
Do you think he's one of the guys that like didn't vote for Mariano Rivera like first ballot?
I mean, he could
or Ken Griffey Jr.
I don't know.
Just because he's like,
I don't want to make the guy out to be Satan here, but he definitely is somebody who every once in a while has a take that grates on me a little bit. Whatever.
So
I like that they did it. I thought they should have done it. They should have moved him off to the Cubs series. I like that they did it. It's good strategizing.
And actually, that wasn't really the bad strategy. The bad strategy was that Casey Mize again had absolutely no idea where any of his pitches were going Thursday. Yeah. And that's the story. The story isn't the bullpen. Yeah, getting two runs isn't super helpful. The bullpen wasn't well utilized, and in the extra innings, the worst case scenario happened. That being said, it could have been a lot worse. Casey Mize loaded the bases at the first and second inning. The Tigers were fortunate because of the bullpen and good defense to actually come out with a 3-2 win. That being said, I have two things to say on your ceiling floor.
Yes.
And this is it.
Yeah.
The fact that Alex Cobb is MIA, which isn't a huge surprise. No. The fact that we have Jackson Jobe and Reese Olson injured right now. The fact that Montero's being used in different ways. And then the fact that Maeda is now a Cubs farmhand after being DFA'd just shows, as well as this front office, Scott Harrison, as well as AJ Hinch can manage a pen, how difficult it is, because we don't, I'm 100% with you, we don't have enough pitching. The chaos theory is running very thin. Could it be a message from Hinch to upper management?
I can't believe you're bringing this up. And we did not talk about this, but I was literally on my flight out on Friday thinking this same thing. I'm like, is Hinch sending a message? Is this how managers send messages to their front office?
Yeah.
I had this thought. I'm sitting there. I'm like, is this what's going on? I'd love to pick somebody's brain that would know. But is this the way they say, like, look at us struggling? I'll show you on the.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Field. This is what I have to work with right now.
Get me more pitching.
Well, I think, and I don't think we're the only ones that are going to say this, I think Scott Harris's trade deadline, this needs to be his opus. He needs to figure this out. This is going to be a big moment for him in our front office.
Because if I'm ownership, and I know I've got a lot of money, you know, a lot of real estate, a lot of pizza sold, I'm not happy with the fact that we're paying $15 million for Alex Cobb to not pitch when we had to talk him coming out of retirement to even accept the $15 million. And somebody green-lighted Maeda, and the fact that he is now DFA'd and the Cubs are paying him a pittance of what the Tigers are paying him to not play for them is definitely worrisome. And I do think that you are, again, 100% spot on, that this is going to be Scott Harris's either magnum opus or this is going to be Scott Harris's potential swan song. Trust me, I love what he's done getting this team competitive. And I appreciate the amount of homegrown talent we have up and down the roster. I appreciate the versatility of the roster. I appreciate somewhat some depth, which is my next point. The problem is we don't have the depth. And here's the ceiling floor. I think, and the metrics bear this out, but when you get a starting lineup of Meadows in center field, Torres at second base, Carpenter in right field, Riley Green in left field, batting cleanup, Torque at first base. And then here's where it gets interesting. You can either have Keith DH or Wenzel Perez at this point. Then you've got Dingler behind the plate, McKinstry at third, and Baez at short. If that isn't your 9 or 10, because I did mention 10 guys, there is a steep, steep drop-off. Case in point, Andy Ibañez is no longer with the big league club, and I don't foresee him getting back up to the club, even when the 40-man roster comes about. And then, you know, there's others. Jahan's not up, and I don't know how deserved that is, because I think Jahan did some good things. I don't think he offers the greatest fielding. And as we segment into this weekend series, I have one thing that really stood out to me in today's game. So real quick, there was a 3-1 victory Friday. Yeah. It was a Skubal masterpiece. Yeah. Yep. Just enough hitting. Yesterday was
what we've come to expect at this point.
Yesterday was exactly the opposite of that, which is, again, going back to the ceiling floor debate that we're talking about. Jameson Taillon was masterful. It was a really weird game. Holton started, but only pitched, was it like 1 2/3?
This is where I blew my stack, and you know this.
And then Montero came in, and it was a 6-1 loss. I mean, nothing clicked for the Tigers. And then today was an absolute masterclass. It was a 4-0 win. Flaherty, fourth quality start in a row. My guy.
He's yours. I give you that. You know what? Every time he comes out, I'm not wishing poor things, but I'm saying this will be the day he blows up. And he just proves me wrong, which tells me Flaherty probably, you know what? He definitely deserves some kudos and to be in this rotation. He's not a two for me. Okay. He's not a two.
Well, I want to give just a couple more bouquets to Mr. Yeah. Jack Flaherty.
No, you should.
He had 9 Ks today, which is the most the Cubs have been K'd this season. The Cubs do have the best offense in baseball. He pitched 6 scoreless. He did get into trouble, but he also got out of trouble. And then I'm giving a new award here.
Okay.
It is the Mike Yastrzemski Award for a home series for a right fielder that looks absolutely bewildered at Comerica Park.
Boy.
And this series award goes to one Kyle Tucker, who is probably going to get a $500 million payday this offseason.
Do you think right field at Tiger Stadium is like a vortex of some sort? Is it the Bermuda Triangle? Is it becoming the new Bermuda Triangle? Because we've seen a couple guys fumble around out there.
We've got too small of a sample size, but I'm bringing it up is
setting the stage.
Of course, we need to track this all year. The Mike Yastrzemski.
We're going to watch the right fielder every team that comes in there for the rest of the year and our own for that matter. I mean, Karp has been doing fine. He had a lovely game today.
Actually,
he threw a guy out at home. He did quite a bit today.
He had all 5 tools in action today. He hit for power, he hit for average. He ran well, he caught well, he threw well. You know, interestingly enough, you know who struggled out there mightily?
Who?
Jahan, when he was in right field at home.
Well, what I've realized, and you touched on this earlier, one of the problems with Jahan on this team is he's not versatile.
And I think that could be his...
You know, and Scott Harris and more so, I should say, Hinch loves versatility. And Jahan was like, you're going to DH, you're going to play right field, or you're not playing, and that's it. And I have plenty of guys to DH at this juncture. We don't need a DH. So it's really outfield or bust. And so while I liked his approach at the plate, situational hitting aside, because we had some issues, while I like his approach at the plate, where do you put him? He could be trade bait come the trade deadline at this point.
I think he and the somewhat new hero, Jamai Jones, could both possibly be.
Jamai can stay.
And then I have one more name for you just because I feel bad saying this, just because he's.
Go on.
He's been decent at certain points. However, he hasn't really been a Tiger long enough for, you know.
I know.
Go on. Fall in love with him. But Trey Sweeney, he is not a good enough fielder.
He was not who I thought you were going to say. I think
he is not
Keith,
a good enough hitter at this point to justify. And on that note, Parker Meadows is playing better, but he is off to a ridiculously slow start behind the plate.
Reminiscent
of where he was last year before he got sent down to Toledo. So just something to keep an eye on.
Letting some of these guys marinate. But like we were saying before, like we need offense. So they can marinate, but eventually they got to cook and eat. You know, it's not a.
Yeah.
They don't just soak all day. I think one of the things that I'm seeing, though, and I thought Jamai Jones should have made this team out of spring training, to be dead honest with you. He played quite well in the preseason, in spring training. One of the things that I saw today was some better fielding, number one, first and foremost. Karp threw a guy out at home and then had some great offense. We had some other plays around the diamond. And Hanafy, when he came in late in today's game, started to derail a little there. Baez saved him a little bit. He gave a first hitter comes in, laces one over the shortstop's head, probably clears like 2/3 of the shortstops in the league easily. Baez leapt up and snared that thing. And I was like, wow, he just saved a hit to lead off that inning. And then Hanafy let the next two guys get hits. And I was like, ah. Oh. He got BABIP to bet a bit to death, batting average on balls in play a little there, like some of those, you know. But at the same time, Hanafy is one of those guys I'm watching going, you're struggling right now. Like, we're fading here with Mr. Hanafy. But
he worked his way out of it, though.
He got out of it, worked his way out of it, figured it out. He got lucky because Horner got tossed. Horner got tossed.
Actually, that was the key play of the game. And I thought that was a really quick hook.
Horner comes in with 2 on and 1 out. He does damage there, and he got tossed, and you put, I think it was,
do you know which Cub lost him the game today? Was Suzuki kept getting the 4-seamer right down the pipe, and he would sit every time. Then
he was looking for something
Jack would throw his changeup, he'd swing at it blindly, and then he was guessing again, and it would be right down the pipe, and that would be 3 strikes.
You know, he
struck out 3 times today.
we can love a slider and we can love how a fastball sets up a slider and vice versa. The more I watch, the changeup is the deadliest pitch in baseball.
Yeah. Another kudo for today's game, Will Vest, was nothing short of amazing. And I guess we need to also circle back really quick, and then I'll let you
feel free
to take over from here. Scooble goes to 6-2. 3-1 was masterclass. Will Vest got his 10th save on it. And I just, again, I can't give enough love to Tarek Skubal. He pitched 7 2/3. Will Vest only pitched 1 1/3. You were very concerned about bullpen overutilization. I was very concerned about it. I think all Tiger fans were concerned about it going into this weekend series. And it's one thing to have an ace that puts a stop to losing streaks or bad baseball, which, quite frankly, the Tigers played bad baseball last Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Friday, he comes out. They don't even generate a lot of offense. Ben Brown pitched a pretty good game for the Cubs.
Yeah.
Yet he struck out 6, allowed 8 hits, 1 earned run, threw 94 pitches, 65 of them strikes. I would say it was probably his worst outing since maybe his first 2 outings, you know, one against the Dodgers and then the other against the Mariners. He is really, really pitching well. Excuse me, it wasn't the Mariners. I'm sorry, it was the series after that.
So I'm going to give you a couple things about just some things I saw and some comparisons between these two teams, because they are both near and dear to our heart to a degree. The Tigers have the best pitcher in baseball right now in Scooble. Nobody really comes to mind that would top him. He is a 3.4 WAR pitcher so far. He has a FIP at 1.84, which is sensational. That is real good. Fielding independent pitching, for those that are wondering what FIP is. So it's basically like an ERA, but it's independent of fielding and all the other luck that a pitcher may get. It kind of reduces some of the luck and just talks about pitching, right? Reese Olson is number 2 on the team with a 1.2 WAR and a 2.92 FIP. After that, things start to get dicey. All right. Vest actually has a 1 WAR. He's our highest WAR pitcher next to Olson and Scooble, your guy Vest, that you're getting very excited about. And you should be. He's been very good. 2.3 FIP for him. Then we hit Flaherty, who has an almost 4 FIP and a 0.8 WAR. Now, I think, you know, what we have on this team right now, and it only goes down from there. It only gets worse from there. What we have on this team right now is the best pitcher in baseball. And a bunch of 4s in our starting rotation. 4s and 5s, if you will. Job, 4
Which
or 5.
Which is no Mize, different than it was last Reese. Year's postseason.
Exactly. And we saw what happened when we went up against, I mean, we got through the Astros, but we saw what happened when we got up against the Indians. We saw what happened a couple of weeks ago when we played the Indians. I will tell you, the Cubs are built a little differently than us. They have much better hitting. Pete Crow Armstrong has been nothing short of a sensation so far.
Nothing short of sensational.
He's over 3 WAR right now. Michael Busch, Horner.
Well, Michael Busch actually would fit in very well to the Tigers lineup.
He would actually.
Doesn't really interesting. I mean, he's slot. A first baseman, but doesn't really have a true position and can't hit lefties. He's like the ideal. He's a Tiger. I mean, he's Kerry Carpenter.
I would agree. I would agree with that.
Zach McKinstry and somewhat Andy Ibanez, but a much better version. One thing I do want to talk about on the Cubs really quick that I thought was going to become an Achilles heel for them, and I sent this to you a couple days ago, and that is that Craig Counsell has almost been stubborn to a fault with the fact that Amaya, their starting catcher, has been out, and he's really relied on Carson Kelly, who we knew from a few seasons ago is a pretty lackluster Tigers catcher. About a .220 career average. Not much really in the way of slugging, and his OPS is nothing really to write home about. I think somewhere in the high 400s, something like that. He has reverted back to his norm. He was batting close to .270 like a week ago, if not above that. He is now at .254. He went 0-3
today. It falls
today.
Off fast.
And he looks like he is reverting back to the norm. And I swear to you, Craig Counsell, because, you know, I do live in the Riverville neighborhood, must have heard me. Those keys, text keys pounding to my counterpart here, Chet West. And because guess who was not in the 4 slot for the first time in probably close to a month since Amaya got hurt? And that was Kelly's sliding down. And Pete Crow Armstrong batted cleanup today. And Pete Crow Armstrong he's the type of player that you and I can just get behind. He's our guy. And if you and I still lived here and we're in our mid to late 20s like we once were, he would be the guy that you and I would go to the bleachers and, you know, support with 100% of our love. 100%. That being said, more fact that is just ridiculous. Pekar Armstrong went to the same high school, and I know everybody's heard this, is Jack Flaherty.
Yeah.
Max Fried.
Yeah.
And Lucas Giolito.
Yeah.
The best baseball part about
factory.
Today's...
A baseball factory, if you will.
Well, that's the weird thing, though, Chet. They're the only four. But they did the other famous alum from there, and it was like Shirley Temple and Jamie Lee Curtis, John Lovitz. So a lot of Hollywood...
Just a lot coming out of there.
But
producing that, on all
but they're firing on all cylinders.
Yeah,
I didn't realize how much older Flaherty is than Pete Crow Armstrong. They showed a photo of them together, and there's just quite a difference.
It's got to be a 6-7 year difference, right? Yeah. Or something like that.
I'm going to put my Cubs thoughts to bed right here.
Yeah,
and this is just being a neighborhood guy, second favorite team, or third favorite team, whatever we want to say. Don't sign Kyle Tucker. You'll come to regret it and rue that day. Extend Pete Crow Armstrong. That's where your money should be spent. I dream about having lunch with the owner of the Cubs. Come on. I could care less.
At any rate.
He and I were at Sweet Greens. And it was magical, salad. Chet. We just talked over our salmon salads for hours about nothing but ball.
Do you think the Cubs have a good rotation?
They do once they get healthy. And the problem is
Steel,
that
the Steel hurts.
Steel's gone Steel for hurts. The year, and then they won't get, I'm flaking on his name.
What are you thinking
about? The Japanese pitcher that's absolutely amazing.
Imanaga?
Yeah, he comes back soon. So I think their starting pitching's better than... I think where you want me to go here is we know their hitting's better 1-9.
Sure.
Even with Carson Kelly, and it will get better with Amaya coming back. Yeah. Unlike saying like, oh, if Matt Vierling comes back, maybe we'll be better. We don't know that. Amaya is better than Kelly because we know what Kelly is. The Tigers' bullpen is 3 times better than the Cubs' bullpen.
Yeah.
But their starting pitching is better because instead of...
And I comp these teams not because I like them both, but because they're both very similarly in charge of their league right now to a degree.
It was a Friday's game. They were the two best teams in the league. And then after the Tigers beat the Cubs, the Mets won.
So the comp is because I want to see like what that National League equivalent is to us. And I feel like the Cubs are pretty close.
And I wish we had more games against them. Yeah. The only other chance we'd get to see the Cubs this year is if by great fortune they're in the World Series.
I kind of feel like the Tigers have the best pitcher in baseball and a bunch of 4s and 5s.
You keep
saying
that.
And the Cubs have a bunch of 2s and 3s.
They have Justin Steele.
Yeah, and he's hurt, so he's not going to be back all season.
And then
Imanaga is their top guy.
And then they've got a bunch of 3s and maybe a 4, but they seem to be getting... Here's the difference between the two teams. When their 3s and 4s pitch, or let's call it 3 3s and a 4, they've been relatively healthy outside of Steele and Imanaga. The other thing is they score like 8 runs or 6 runs every time those guys take the mound.
Oh, yeah.
The Tigers score... 3.
Yeah.
Or exactly. They'll score like
the run
8
support.
Runs in a week.
Yeah, we need the run support. Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's not a...
Up next for the Tigers, the great news, Chet, is things get a heck of a lot easier after this past week.
I feel like we need it a little bit.
Tomorrow, they get a much-deserved off day.
Good.
And they're already at home. Today was a 12:40 start, Central Time, 1:40, so they're going to get plenty of rest. They do have to travel to Baltimore Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're all 5:35 Central, 6:35 Eastern, and then they come back home, a very odd scheduling quirk that they only go on a 3-game road trip midweek and don't get the early day departure on Thursday, but they do host the Reds, and I got to hand it to Major League Baseball, and this is going to be a running joke all year, 6:10 or 7:10 Friday night against the Reds at Comerica. 12:10, totally normal for a Saturday for the Tigers, or 1:10. And then it's back, Chet. Your favorite thing in the whole world. A weird channel that nobody has, Roku, and an 11:05 Central start time.
It wasn't so bad watching the Roku game. I'll give it that. At least we can watch. It's not like you guys in Chicago can't see a game if the Cubs or White Sox are playing. That's maddening.
Is that not so... Yeah, but you can't watch the Twins, can you, on the MLB package?
I can because I can watch them on Fubo.
I have Fubo for
my local stuff, so I just turn that on and I get the FanDuel Sportsnet or whatever.
If we had a dime for every one of our friends in every text chain that complained on, I bought the MLP package.
Every time I recommend the MLB package to somebody, they're like, but I can't watch the local games. I'm like, look at the fine print, for crying out loud. Yeah, like,
exactly.
It's
exactly.
Not my fault. Yeah.
And so that's kind of the week ahead. The Tigers get next Monday off as well, and then they get three games at home against the Pirates. So I think this is a get-right point for the Tigers. I would love it if we got some news on Alex Cobb. As of the recording of this, I have seen nothing. This is as today. Reese Olson threw a bullpen session on the 7th, felt fine. He just can't throw his changeup without irritation. Good news, Alex Cobb's right hip is still a mystery. He went on the injured list March 27th, which was retroactive. That pushed then to the 60 to May 30th, and they're now saying possibly late June. He did throw 2 1/3 hitless innings in his second rehab start at High West A, Michigan. Whitecaps, I believe, just north of Grand Rapids. Yep. So that's actually good news. This is not good. I do have some information on Vreerling. This is new. He got an injection because the inflammation is not doing well. And then if we can go down to the farm, bad news, Bryce Rainer, the Tigers' number three
that was
prospect.
Awful. I heard about this.
He dislocated his right shoulder and will undergo season-ending surgery.
Yeah, that's a bite right there. Even and for trade value, if we want to go get a Bo Bichette, we want to go get one of these big guys or a frontline starter. I mean, Rainer was a guy that could have been in conversations. So,
and he did it diving back to first base, trying to avoid a pickoff. Yeah. I just dislocated my shoulder about 10 years ago. It's not fun. And then we know that Foley had his season-ending shoulder surgery. The good news is that he was placed on the 60 June 2nd, so he's opening up a roster spot. I really think the world of Jason Foley and could not figure out what was going on. I hope it was related to the injury and that the injury is fixed. I wish him nothing but good health and good fortune, and would love to see him pitching for the Tigers again in the future, because
there's another guy.
He's a guy I could get behind. Yeah,
he's a guy you can get behind. He's an easy one to cheer for. Ty Madden's another guy that may come back at some point here. I don't know if he excites you that much or not. Really young pitcher that we've got in our system. And he's on the 60-day retroactive to March 27th. And I think he's completing rehab right now.
So my last one for you. I know that the pitching chaos infuriates you.
Drives me nuts.
But every time I am going to text you, knowing that it drives you nuts, to say, hey, but would you rather have Matt Manning up there?
I don't. Listen, I even said this past week in a fit of frustration that I would rather have Matt Manning in the game, okay?
We'll see about that, Chad.
I'm not going to. Look, don't get me started on this pitching chaos garbage. All right. It's all right. When we win, I love it. When we lose, I don't. And I have all the rights in the world to hold that opinion of it. Listeners, thanks for bearing with us this week. We left you for a couple days with nothing, but here you go. We gave you our thoughts on the Tale of Two Cities there, our ceiling floor, Chicago, home and away, or whatever you want to call it. We'll be back after the Baltimore series to give our thoughts, right, Bill? You think we can swing that this week, or where are we at?
Yeah, we're going to definitely try to swing Wednesday evening.
Good young squad to watch them play. Baltimore's been resurgent lately, too, all of a sudden. We got them when they were down.
They've won 7 of 3, though they lost today. We'll see. Their pitching's in real rough shape.
I would
give anything. I still want to bat at the trade deadline. I also think we need another, at least one more starting pitcher, if not two starting pitchers, you know, a true two and then another 4 or 5 guy. And then the last thing, outside of Will Vest, we do not have a swing and miss guy in the bullpen.
No, I know.
And that could bite us at some point.
I love how we can just mention a team and you start picking out the things you want from that team. This is going to be a great trade deadline,
Cedric
by the
Mullins.
Way. We're going to have a lot of fun with
Cedric
that.
Cedric Mullins.
We'll get
my new
Cedric
guy,
Mullins.
Cedric
you're,
Mullins.
You're dreaming about him tonight.
I know. Right. Look, the listeners, if you could see my eyes, they were as wide as saucers when we mentioned his name.
We're going to wrap this up. Bill needs rest. I need rest. It's been a long week. Everybody, thanks for listening. Until next time, go Tigers.
The this Labor Day at Lowe's. Shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.